Thank you for listening to this talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living, Midtown, Atlanta.
Monica and I were talking up here about Super Bowl Sunday, and not so sure if we're real excited about the game. Are we more excited about the commercials and halftime? You know, Katy Perry's going to be there and everything. And Monica shared with me that one of our all-time favorite, and it's one of mine too, her all-time favorite commercial was the Star Wars commercial, you know, where the boy comes out in front of the car and he's like this, and the car reacts back at him, and just the power that the kid has. Well, that's my talk today, all the power that we have today. It's a great Sunday to be speaking. Gosh, I haven't been up here like in 6 weeks. I spoke the week before Christmas, and I did a great Christmas talk. Actually, the very next week, I've got about 6 emails that said, David, that was the worst talk. How did it have anything to do with Christmas? And I got 6 emails that said, how spectacular that Christmas talk was. So the good news is that somebody's listening, you know? So I really like that. And here I am 6 weeks later. It couldn't be a better day to be doing a talk. I have so many ways to go with it. You can do something with Super Bowl Sunday. Groundhog Day is this week. We could do something on Groundhog Day. I could speak of Black History Month, and what just started just a couple days ago was the season for nonviolence, and I could talk about that. But it's February 1st, I'm wearing my red, and I saw a lot of red coming in today, and I was like, I am announcing the passion of love during the month of February, so you can talk about love as well. So, but before I get into my talk, I did want to do a little bit of a review, because Paul did a great job for the first 4 weeks going over the basics of the science of mind and what this teaching is all about. And you have to understand our teaching. The way that we teach the science of mind is kind of a lot different than what the rest of Centers for Spiritual Living religious science churches are doing. Paul is actually the best teacher of teaching the basics of the science of mind that this whole movement has. And we're so lucky to have him here on Sundays giving that during the 4 weeks of January. But I want to let you know, he takes 4 weeks to do it, and I'm going to do it in 4 minutes. So, let me remind you of the four talks. The thing itself, the way it works, what it does, and how to use it. What I want to do about is just break it down really easily, because when I was in class, I couldn't remember it. I didn't know what Kennedy was saying. My teacher, too, was Kennedy. Paul's teacher was Kennedy. So he just broke it down really quick, and he said, the thing itself is a bigger idea about God. The way it works is a bigger idea. The way it works is through you. What it does is it makes all things new. And how to use it? Well, that's up to us and how we use that law. So I'm going to break this down just a little bit more so it really makes an impression in your mind, and we actually need 3 sections in here to make that work. So I'm going to have a section over here, I'm going to have a section in the middle, I'm going to have a section over here, and what I want to do is just for the first 3 rows over here and the first 3 rows over here, the Bryces, you're split right there, so I just want to let you know. This is going to be the first section I'm talking about. This is going to be 3 and 3, the second section I'm going to talk about, and then the third section over here. Now, we're not a church that yells back at the minister or anything like that. Now, Sandy is really bad. She'll yell, Amen, Paul, every now and then. But today's a day that I need you to participate. I need you to come back at me. And so this section all the way over here, I want you to be the thing itself. The thing itself, a bigger idea about God, a bigger idea about universal mind, Allah, Yahweh, whatever it is you want to call it. And it's not my definition or Paul's definition or what this teaching's definition of this. I want it to be what your definition of God is. That's what I love about this teaching, is it's not telling us what it is. It's asking us, what do you think your definition of it is? So Ernest Holmes says, there's a power greater than we are, and we can use it. That's what he was saying like that. So in the Bible, I have to say this very slow, or else some people misunderstand me. But the Bible says over here about the thing itself, fear not, little flock. It is with you whom I am well pleased. All is given. Fear not, little flock. It is with you whom I am well pleased. All is given. So the first section, all you have to say is, all is given. So repeat after me. All is given. Beautiful. The center section, this is the way it works. It works through us. And I want you to hold tight right now, because you know what? We've been struggling with this section for thousands of years. And so just hold tight for a little bit. What I want to do is go to the next section, which says all the way over here is what it does. So this third section over here, what it does, and all that it does is it makes all things new. It takes from the first two sections and creates. It takes from the other two sections as law and creates all things new. And you know what you say in this section? And so it is. That's all you say. And so it is. My favorite section, because I call you the "and so it is" singers, and all you have to say, repeat after me, and so it is.
And so it is.
There it is. So what do you say?
All
we'll say something else.
And
so it is. So now back to the middle section. This is how it works through you and me. We have this bigger understanding of God, and we have this section that makes all things new. But what is it making new? And I love it when Paul gets up here and says, it depends. It depends. It depends on this section. This is the way it works. And the way it works is through you. It works through you and your use of mind. That is why we call this the science of mind. Your use of individual mind and your use of universal mind. He was reading a quote from there, going through all the subjective and all that is. So this is a very important section right here, because it is through you that a pattern is formed. A pattern of wealth or lack. A pattern of health or sickness, a pattern of creativity or lack thereof, a pattern of love or a pattern of lovelessness. And I mean a pattern like, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. So I want you to repeat after me when, after we go through this section, all I want you to say is, I can't afford it, and I want you to see how the law works. So the very beginning section says, wow. Let's do that one more time. We didn't know what was going on. Wow. So do you see by what you're placing in there, the law just responds just absolutely spectacular. But what if you said, I can't afford it? The opposite of that is, I am rich. I am rich. So use that one.
I'm rich, and so is.
There you have it. That's how the law works. It's so spectacular. And so then we end up with something down here, whether it's a feeling and a starting, our life is starting to form around, I can't afford it, or it's starting to form around, I am rich. The law doesn't, these two parts don't care what you throw into it. It's the middle section. So that's why I said for thousands of years we've been struggling with it. That part right there is what we've been struggling with. So, we say things like, I can't afford it, or I am rich. The flu is going around. You can say that because, you know, you'll walk into the office tomorrow and everybody in the office is going to say, well, the flu is going around. Well, all is given. The flu is going around, and so it is. Guess what you have? The flu going around. I mean, it works that way in our bodies. The same thing. I can't find a job. All is given. I can't find a job, and so it is. The law works beautifully. When it comes to love, all is given, all the good ones are taken, and so it is. So, anyway, the bottom line is, and this is my favorite part of the talk, literally all that this is saying right here is blah, blah, blah. So, that's what shows up in our life. So really we need to start learning how that we can do this all the time. Stop saying blah, blah, blah. Stop saying anything negative about ourselves. I did an oral exam. I want you to recognize John Carn. John Carn is just passed his oral exams to become a minister with the Emerson Institute. So with John, doing that, it was really fun because one of the topics was, you know, what is sin? And he was just saying, you know, one of the religious science people throughout the ages have said, the only sin there is when you attach anything negative to I am. I am. That's the only sin there is. So can you see how all is given? I am, you know, poor, weak, afraid, and so it is. That's a sin. That's the only sin we have. So I want you to see, we come to this religious, we think it's science and we think it's all mind, but we have this Trinity right here. We have God, me, and the demonstration. We have Father, Son, Holy Ghost. This is really religious science. That's what we have and that we're dealing with as the Trinity. And the theory works very well. So you have to understand that it doesn't care what we put in there. It always takes what we do. God doesn't care. There's only the unintelligent use of the theory if we start coming up with sin or mistakes or anything like that. Another way you've heard me over the years talk about is the Higgs-Boson theory. The Higgs-Boson is all is given. This energy particle, if you want to talk about an energy field, is given, and we've started and we've seen the Higgs-Boson. It's not negatively charged. It's not positively charged. It's just kind of sitting here. And all the Higgs-Boson is waiting to do is go in a direction this way and start accumulating mass around it, or go in this direction and accumulate mass around this way. It doesn't care if you say, I can't afford it. Higgs-Boson goes into action. Scientifically, it works exactly the same way. Higgs-Boson, same thing, I am rich. It starts going in this direction, doing the same thing. The Higgs-Boson, scientifically, it's actually happening the same way. My final example I want to give you is this auditorium right here. So you announce the auditorium, the thing itself. This room is full of infinite possibilities right now. We can have a lecture here today, which we do every Sunday. We can have a wedding here. We can have a beautiful musical presentation here. We can have a funeral here. The auditorium doesn't care what we do with it. It just takes whatever we put into it, and it just does. All is given. And we announce the wedding, the funeral, the lecture, and so it is. We have the experience of the wedding, the funeral, the lecture. Call it what you will. Religious science, it's the same use of the universe. Paul did a great talk many, many years ago when we were talking about work and labor, and he says, you know what, when you show up at work every day at your place of employment, it's an empty shell to be filled. It's just an empty shell to be filled. When you walk in and turn on the light of the office, the room, your cubicle, whatever it is, sit there for a minute and contemplate this idea that it's an empty shell. So tomorrow when you go to work, some of you are going to work after church today, when you just before you start, just saying, I am getting ready to fill this empty shell. And you can see where my talk is going. The empty shell is waiting to be filled with whatever it is that you put into it. So it's a place for creative self-expression in this place, this empty shell. All is given, full of infinite possibilities. And you can fill the space with something somber like the funeral or a wedding or what do we normally do when we go to work? We fill it with all the thoughts that we had on Friday when we left it. And so what happens? We turn on the light and we're going, you know, same stuff, different day. And it's only because of us using the law exactly that way. We were the ones that filled the room with worry about the next deal. We're the ones that fill the room with the question of financing. Since it's the end of the month and beginning of the next month, how do we do with the financing? Or we fill the room with a celebration because we're 1/12 of the way through the year and we're more than 1/12 of the way with bringing in all of our goals that we're trying to meet and everything like that. So you see, we keep having the same experience at work because we keep introducing the same idea and the creative process works beautifully. That's what's so great about Groundhog Day in the movie. It's very metaphysical. We just keep putting the same ideas back in there. We keep getting the same day. Well, what if you wanted a different experience at work? Introduce a different idea. Introduce a different idea. So this law works. Even if you're in a cubicle on the 23rd floor, all the way in the back, that law is working. All is given, blah, 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 and so it is. So Paul took 4 weeks to explain that. You guys got to see it in action and how it works, how easy it is to say those things. So we need to catch our tail. So I wanted to do a very good first talk of the year, and I researched and I came up with Ernest Holmes, what he talked about the very first of the year. He's the one that wrote the Science of Mind text that Bill was reading from. And he said, someone explained to Holmes that it might be a lot of hard work, this thing itself, the way it works and what it does. You have to put a lot into it. And then Ernest Holmes quickly responded, I don't put a lot in, I take it out. I don't put a lot in, I take it out. He was very clear, all is given. The table is prepared for thee. So what do we take from it? And the taking occurs in the middle section, what we're doing that. So with all those things, I do want to talk about the Super Bowl. I do want to talk about love. I'm going to put the two of those together. And today being Super Bowl Sunday and all the talk about Deflategate, who deflated the footballs, who is this locker room guy, and I want to sit here and say we are all the locker room guy. We are all the locker room guy. We are, one time or another, we've let the air out of all the allness that life has given. We have all stepped completely over here into the world of effect. So somebody used the law of creation and came up with this world of effect thing. And then we get over here and we see this effect and it's like, let's manipulate it over here. Let's manipulate the world of effect a little bit so that we can get an advantage over here. We're so immersed in looking at the world of effect and trying to come up with something to change how it looks over here, we forget that that law of all is given, whatever it is we want, is ready to be at our disposal and use it. We don't do that. We come over here to the world of effect and start manipulating it over here. So we've all been guilty of that. So that's why I say we're all the locker room guy. All was given, something was announced, and so it was. And then you take whatever that thing is and try to manipulate it over here to your advantage. When all along the universal law is just waiting for us to announce something better. So the example with Deflategate is the rules of the NFL state with all the balls used in the game, they should weigh a certain amount and they have to have the same PSI together. And so the locker room guy tries to manipulate that rule, that law, all the way over here to supposedly obtain an advantage in the secondary area of the world of effect. So you're over here moving rather than trying to recreate something new. When all along a greater idea could be announced using the universal law all the way over in cause. Announcing things like from cause, like the strength of God was their strength for the game. Why don't you announce that? Why don't you announce things like the wisdom of the universe was their wisdom in the game? Why don't you announce that? Announce the love of the universe showed up as the love of the game this Sunday. And if you showed up in wisdom, strength, and love on the game, do you have to do anything over here to the world of effect to have an advantage? Not at all. You use something at the universal level to come through you. They could have used the law that way in the realm of cause, but instead they went to the end result, the world of effect, the secondary area, and manipulated that. And yes, we've all done that until we came to an understanding that there's a better way to live life. That's what we're teaching up here every single Sunday. And to have it abundantly and to have it completely inflated. And being this Sunday, I'm telling you, I'm talking about love. Inflate your love. I want you to see, we're going to have some fun, guys. I want you to see that this law that we're using can be used in the area of love. So Paul and I, through all of our classes, Kennedy Schultz taught us very well. There's four pillars that we always teach: health, wealth, love, and career. You can fit anything going on into your life in one of those four pillars. So I'm just picking one of them out, the pillar of love on there. And so where do we learn to love? We first learn to love from our families. That's where we first learn to love. And it's just really unique. Our mother loves on us when we're born, and even if we're put up for an adoption, that's a form of love because all the decisions that they had to make up was a form of love as well. Our family loves on us, and we learn from a very early age the misconception that love is something to be obtained. It's something to get. Love is something to be gotten. We are taught that love is out there and we need to go start searching for it. And if I'm going to have any love in my life, I must get it from out there. And this means all the way over here. We're over here and we're looking for love over here is where we're looking at. We're taught to look for love in the second area. This is the area of effect. We're taught to look for love in all the wrong places. When all along this beautiful law Paul spoken of, I'm speaking of, is at the ready to create love in your life from cause. You can go up to this universal level and start announcing that. But when we start from effect and start looking over here, we think love is a limited commodity. We think there's not enough love to go around, you know. And that's what we start thinking all the time. So we think love is hard, so why should we even go through the effort? But in actuality, love is not a limited commodity. There is enough love to go around, and love is very easy. It's natural. And that is actually all you need to do is to allow it out. So when you show up in life, you actually show up with all the love of the universe at your disposal. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good kingdom to give you the kingdom. All is given. This means all the love of the universe was given the day we were born. All the love of the universe was given the day we were born. It's kind of like this football. So all of the love of the universe was given to us. Here's the way it works, is through you. Go in here. I want you to hear this. Love is a limited commodity. There's not enough love to go around. Love is hard. I'm glad they're hearing this. You know, people around the world listen to our talks. For those of you that are listening to the wind, that is me deflating a football. We are all that locker room guy. So, you see, each time you make those statements, either voicing it or not even voicing it, just having it in your thought pattern up here, you're using the law, all is given, and coming up with the world of effect with something like this. You approach the world feeling like this, and all of a sudden the world of love looks like this. And the scary part is you demonstrated perfectly. The law worked beautifully. So now when we're over here in the secondary world of effect, and this is what we look like, and we're looking for love. Do you want to love me? Do you want to love me? So, Kennedy Schultz, the founder of the Atlanta Church of Religious Science in 1979, Paul's teacher, my teacher, Bill's teacher, who else took class with Kennedy Schultz? Back here? Oh, there's more people than usual in here. It's good seeing you. He spoke of his best friends when he was in his 20s. His name was Freddie. He said that he liked hanging out with Freddie because Freddie was kind of homely. And so standing next to Freddie, he was really quite handsome. So he's like, yeah, I like to do that. I'm the catch of the day standing next to Freddie. So Kennedy said that even on Ken's worst day, he looked pretty good next to Freddie. So, but as time went on, Kennedy realized that Freddie was much better at love than he was. The reason being, Ken was looking to get love. Ken was like this, trying to be filled. But Freddie, he wasn't. Freddie was there to give love. Night after night, Freddie was having one conquest after another while Ken was left alone. And yes, he was in the bar room when the sun was starting to rise again. There he sits. And Ken realized that Freddie was a love giver, but he was a love seeker. He was out there looking for it out there. Freddie used the power of love as if he had an infinite store of it, so he made love happen all around him. Freddie thought he was full of love, while Ken didn't think he had any love at all. He had none to get, and he had none to give. Deflated. That was his constant line. That was his constant demonstration of using the law we just used. You know, I was really good about, and I sing this in class, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go eat worms. And, you know, the love works, the law works beautifully. It shows up that way. And Ken languished about, waiting for people to give him their love in exchange for his wit, his beauty, and his ease. He got a lot of it with his ease. There's much more love than romance. There's much more than Eros love. But there's agape love. Agape love. And believe it or not, agape love can bring us a deliriously happy sex life. I'm not just talking about Eros love. Agape love will bring us that. Most of us would rather prefer to start off with the deliriously happy sex life and catch up with the universal love thing later. However, it really doesn't work well that way. Love is ultimately regulated by a perfect creative intelligence which seems to know that for life to be secure and for love to be secure, first things must come first. This means that we must become secure in love in our regular relationships, in our bread and butter relationships. Let's get secure in love there. These are the ones that continue day in and day out and carry the weight of our existence. This is where we learn that love in our relationships with our friends and families becomes secure when we are giving love to the relationship versus trying to get love from them. And so when you learn those relationships and you start pulling all that together, you start getting very secure in those bread and butter relationships. And Ken even says we need to do that before we can become secure in our jam and jelly relationships. So I love that. What this means, if we're secure in understanding where love comes from, in here, not out there, all else will be added. And yes, a deliriously wonderful sex life will follow. You're always full of love. We need to let go of this image right here, deflated football longing to be filled, or we're out there to get love. I went to a workshop just last week and it was called Learn to Be Amazing, and I was like, oh, I don't need to go there, I already am. But one of the clips, I figured I learned something. One of the clips was from Jerry Maguire, you know, the Tom Cruise movies back there. What's the biggest one line from that movie? Show me the money. Show me the money. Well, you know what? The second biggest line in there was shown at this workshop. And the second most quoted line there was he's having an argument with his wife in front of her friends and he says, you complete me. You complete me. Oh, we love those words. In actuality, what he's saying is, I look like this. You complete me and make me full. Versus announcing I'm showing up full to the relationship. Be clear, you are complete walking into the relationship. You are always full of love. Love is always expressing itself through you, wanting us to express it so that it can become something great through us. You know how I love reading about the mystics and everything. I've shared Hildegard with you. I've shared Meister Eckhart. I've got a Meister Eckhart quote that said, that Meister said to his detractors who were telling him God was angry at him because of his heresy. And if you know Meister Eckhart was sitting there saying, God is not a white man up in the sky with a beard. And you didn't say this in the 13th century. They would kill you for that. He was, all of his friends were saying, the reason being that you're this way is God's angry at you. And his response was, I know that God always loves me because that is the way he is. He has no choice in the matter. I know that God always loves me because that is the way he is. He has no choice in the matter. You see, love is not a reward we receive when we become good. Love is truly the essence of our being. No matter what way we're acting, it is the power of goodness that is always in us, ready to let us make something more of it. Love is not the result of goodness, It is the cause of goodness. Love is not the end result over here, but it's something that is over here. It's the power that's over here just waiting for us to use it. This is what the crux of the matter is. If things are not very good with you right now, whether in a relationship, with your family, at work, at odds with your body, you can change all of that if you just do some loving. If you start understanding, I am full of love. The only way you and I can allow goodness in our lives and in our work and in our relationships and in our bodies is to understand how to use love better than we've ever used it before. We must use love to think properly about our desire for love and how to approach life as givers and not as takers. Yes, intellectually we learn this here, but we need to take it in all the way deeper. In the deepest part of our understanding, you need to understand that you already are love. You're already full of love. We know we're supposed to give love, but we're waiting until we have enough of it stored up before we're willing to spare just a little bit of it. And certainly, we're not going to share it with anyone that doesn't deserve it. Finally, we're not going to give it to anyone who might not give it back. But we need to stop thinking about love that way. We don't have a storehouse of it or a pile of it. We are it. We are love right now. You are now full of love. Not when someone special comes along, not when somebody completes you. You are now full of love. So look at this ball right here. This is what you look like. NFL. Now full of love. So. We need to stop failing at love. We don't fail at love because we're mean or hateful people. We're not mean and hateful people. We fail to give love because we're afraid, we're shy, it feels awkward. We're thoughtless about love. We don't know where it comes from. We think it's over here and this is where we get it. But when you come to a teaching such as this, you learn something better. When you show up deflated like that, the world runs away. But when you show up like this, fully inflated with love, the world responds differently. Love is the power of life desiring to be lived beautifully. That's what it is. It wants to make your life more beautiful and more joyful by becoming more loving, by starting with the love that has already been given. And I end with using the law once again with your participation. And all I want you to say is, I love greatly. So we start over here.
I love greatly, and so it is.
And so ends the lesson. Let us take in that fullness of life that we are, every single one of them. It's love, it is creativity, it is joy, it's abundance, it's vitality. It's the fullness of life, and that's what every single one of us is this very minute. We announce that, we recognize it, and we recognize that as in the universal, so in the individual. And we put this law to work for ourselves. We announce that the universe has already given us everything that we could ever imagine, and it's up to us to choose what we want to show up in our lives. After that, the law works perfectly and it shows up as a new thing for each one of us. This is the truth for each one of us. It is on this day that we announce the fullness of love in our lives. We show up from this moment forward full of love. The universal love is our love. We are fully inflated right now with all the universal love that is there. What we do is let the smaller ideas of ourselves go and become deflated in that area of love. It is not something that we search for. It is not something that we get. It is not something that's out there. Love is here. Love is in us. It's in our minds. It's in our hearts. And it's waiting, just waiting for us to announce it to come out into our world. So it is on this day, now, full of love, this NFL Sunday, announcing the wholeness that we are, the perfect love that we are, the greatness that we are, the vitality that we are, and we announce that fullness. We become fully inflated, not only with love, we become fully inflated with God. Then, when we walk out of these doors, something happens. People respond when you're fully inflated with love. People respond when you're fully inflated with creative ideas. People respond differently when you're fully inflated with the vitality of the universe. So that's what we do. We start showing up fully inflated. We let our deflated ideas go, our deflated selves go, because that's not the truth of us. The truth of us is that full inflation. We give great thanks for this knowledge. We give great thanks for this awareness. We give great thanks that we might have been thinking of love backwardly, thinking that it was something out there and we needed to get. And today we've turned our mind around to this understanding. It is something we already have, and it's something to allow out. We do that this morning, and our lives become better because of it. This is the truth for each one of us, and so it is.